We are continuing in our series on John, and this morning we come to John chapter 9. We're jumping a little bit ahead, and this is a long but fun story. It has one of the best lines in the Bible, in my opinion, in it. And this morning we're doing Reader's Theater to make it even more fun, and so we want to welcome forward our readers for the Reader Theater and invite you to listen as we read John chapter 9, 1 to 41, to listen for the Word of God. There's also one other thing, you didn't know this, but you're actually in the Reader's Theater. So I'm going to tell you that you are the town's people. All right? And I will clue you in. Sound good? I'll give you the retainer fee afterwards.
Okay.
Listen so for the Word of God.
Pardon?
Can I stay here?
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Our scripture this morning is from John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. While walking along the road, Jesus saw a man who was blind since birth.
Teacher, who sinned? Who is responsible for this man's blindness? Did he commit a sin that merit this punishment? If not his sins, is it the sins of his parents?
Neither. His blindness cannot be explained or traced any particular person's sins. He is blind so the deeds of God may be put on display. While it is daytime, he must do the works of the one who sins. But when the sun sets and night falls, this work is impossible. Whenever I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
After he said these things, he spat on the ground and mixed saliva and dirt to form mud, which he smeared across the blind man's eyes.
Go, wash yourself in the pool of Siloam.
Siloam means sent. And its name reminded us that his healing was sent by God. The man went, washed, and returned to Jesus, his eyes now alive with sight. Then neighbors and others who knew him were confused to see a man closely resembling the blind beggar running about.
Here's your chance. Isn't this the man we see every day sitting and begging in the streets? This is the same man. How about you guys over there?
The townspeople brought this formerly blind beggar to appear before the Pharisees that same day that Jesus healed him, which happened to be on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees began questioning, looking for some explanation for how he could now see.
He smeared mud on my eyes, and I washed. Now I see.
God can't possibly be behind this man because he's breaking the rules of the Sabbath. How can such a lawbreaker scoundrel do things like this?
The Pharisees were at odds with one another about Jesus and could not agree whether his power came from God or the devil.
What do you say about this man, about the fact that he opened your eyes so you could see?
I have no doubt. This man.
Some of the Jews suspected that the whole situation was a charade, that this man was never blind. So they summoned the man's parents to testify about his condition.
Is this this man your son? Do you testify that he's been blind from birth? How, therefore, can he see now?
We can tell you this much. He is our son, and he was born blind. But his new sight is a complete mystery to us. We don't know the man who opened his eyes. Why don't you ask our son? He is old enough to speak for himself.
The man's parents were a bit evasive because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. It had been rumored that anyone who spoke of Jesus as the Anointed One would be expelled from the synagogue. So they deferred the thorny question to their son, and the Pharisees called him on him a second time.
Give God the credit. He's the one who healed you. All glory belongs to God. We are persuaded this man who speaks is a sinner who defies God.
If this man is a sinner, I don't know. I'm not qualified to say. I never received rabbinic instruction like you guys. I only know one thing. I'm blind. And now I see.
What did he do to you? How did he give you sight?
Listen, I've already answered all these questions. You don't like my answers, I guess. Do you really need me to say it over and over again? Oh, I get it. You want to become his followers.
Oh, you're one of his followers. We follow Moses. We have confidence that God spoke to Moses, but this man you speak of is a mystery. We don't even know where he comes from.
Now, isn't it strange that you, our religious leaders, don't even know where he comes from? Yet, he gave me sight. We know that God does not listen to sinners. After all, that's what you've told me since I was a child, like a broken record, because I was born blind. But God does respond and work through those who worship him and do his will. No one has ever heard of someone opening the blinds of any person blind from birth. This man must come from God. Otherwise, this miracle would not be possible. Only God can do such things.
You were born under a cloud of sin. How can you, of all people, think you can lecture us?
The religious leaders banished him from their presence. Jesus heard what had happened and sought out the man.
Do you believe in the Son of Man?
I want to believe, Lord. Who is he?
You have seen his face with your new eyes, and you are talking to him now.
Lord, I do believe.
The man bowed low to worship Jesus.
I have entered this world to announce a verdict that changes everything. Now those without sight may see, may begin to see, and those who see may be blind.
Surely we are not blind, are we?
If you were blind, you would be without sin. But because you claim you can see, your sin is ever present.
This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I think you all deserve an Oscar. I'm going to make sure that that happens. Didn't even know that you were going to be in it today. So it is, I think that's one of the best stories in the Bible, especially where Jesus, where the guy goes, you want to be his disciples too? Fabulous. Fabulous. It is a rich story. There's a lot in there, and it is, there's so much that you can't see it all to a certain extent. I think seeing it enacted can help us start to glimpse it. What it really is on a certain level is a riff on seeing. What do we see? How do we see? Can we see? It is a challenge because it wrestles with this ancient idea that if you are incomplete, which is what they thought of blind people, or sick people, or handicapped people, that you were incomplete, and you were incomplete because you had sinned, and God was punishing you. And if it wasn't you, then it was your parents or ancestors. And that's what we see in that story. It's why the parents are afraid to speak up. It sounds crazy, and yet we quote things that justify that all the time from the Bible. In Exodus in particular, it talks about that the Lord God is faithful to those who love him for generations, and the Lord God punishes those who disobey for generations. It's from that notion that this developed. And so people started having this idea that you could see sin. That this blind man was obviously a sinner because he was incomplete. Now, that's all about the eye and the sight of the beholder, who is complete and who isn't complete. But it's not that different than some of the main things in our society today, where we say that seeing is believing, or that the proof is in the pudding, that what you see is what you get. And we see that even within our own political news this week, where people in the White House, Mr. Porter was fired because he beat his two wives, punching them in the face. People said, well, if you do that with your wives, then what will you do with anyone else? At the same time, the president and others said, well, he's innocent. How dare you? There's no proof, even though there are pictures of the wives with the black eyes. It's not that different. There's also another member of the White House staff who spoke up saying, well, all those people who never filed to become dreamers, it's because they're too lazy to get off their couch to go fill out the paperwork to become a citizen. If they really wanted to, they would have. Now, before you start to think I'm just picking on Republicans, let me pick on a few Democrats as well, such as our lovely mayor, who I'm going to make sure she's not here, who made the news. Because she has a great idea for ending homelessness. Have you heard it? We should all take homeless into our houses. But she has said, well, she can't do it right now because her house is full, and so she'll consider it in the future. But we should take homeless people into our homes, and that would solve the problem. Another thing that tends to be maybe more on the more liberal side is that when someone speaks their mind, it is easy, and I myself do this, to label someone as a bigot or a racist before maybe hearing out all of their opinion. Now, maybe that opinion is not worthy of hearing, my words, but there's still something about hearing and listening, taking the time to not just judge a book by its cover, to not just assume that what you see is what you get, but to go deeper. I hope that these examples are raising up some things that we do this all the time. We make judgments by what we see and we don't see. That's what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, is you are blind. You do not see what is right here. And all they can say is, you did that on the Sabbath. Don't you remember the rule says you don't work on this day, so we can remember how faithful God is. I don't care if you healed that blind man. You're supposed to rest and to follow the rules to observe God's goodness. That's what they're concerned about. Not that this man can see. Not that this man is reborn, recreated with this mud that is put on him, just like Adam and Eve are created from the earth. And Jesus recreates him, saying, you are not incomplete. You are whole. And you are holy, made in my image. It is a funny story, perfect for sketches, and yet it is really quite profound. It's easy to look at the Pharisees and say, you know, what a bunch of losers. At least that's my reading. That's what I learned at seminary. And yet I do the same thing. Let me give you an example. And this happened this week. God is very faithful, always showing me how I'm just like the people in the Bible, week in and week out, and I'm always foolish enough to tell you those stories. But what happened this week was Thursday was coming, and I thought, oh, thank God, Friday's coming. I cannot wait to sleep in. I'm not going to get dressed till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I got a call Thursday morning from a neighbor. And now we have several neighbors who like to call me all the time, and usually it's not to say, Monty, your hair looks great. It's usually to complain about the noise or the cigarette butts, or who knows what, any and everything. And so I saw the number and I thought, oh gosh, are you serious? What happened now? And instead, this neighbor surprised me, saying, you know, there's someone in my building who needs some help. And this person is going to be out on the street, and they've lost their job, and they're really stuck, and they need some help. And I don't know who would be kind enough to help someone else out, but I thought of you in the church. About right there, I almost threw up, thinking, are you kidding? But she thought of us. And I found myself thinking, oh my gosh, what was I just thinking when I saw her number on the caller ID? And then she asked, you know, could you meet with this person at all tomorrow and help them out? And I thought, oh, but it's Friday. And I still thought, oh, it's Friday. And in fact, I still think, oh, it was Friday. And yet I had a momentary glimpse, probably from the scripture, to say, maybe there's more going on than I see. Maybe I'm blind and Jesus has given me sight. Now, I don't think that everything that happens is an opportunity we have to seize on, or that everything that happens to us, as crappy as it might be, is, oh, that's from God. It's a gift. It's going to be all good. That's not how it is. And yet what Jesus says is, this man is not blind so that God can look good. The people want to know, why is this man blind? Who did it? The parents, him? Who did it? And Jesus says nothing to that question. He simply says he is blind and God can do anything, even with this man that you see as less than complete. Jesus reorients everything, and that's what the scripture is about, reorienting how we see the world, how we see each other, how we look for where God is. How we actually see. A lot of times I've heard the scripture talked about, and you know, it really comes down to the question of, are we blind or do we see? But I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. It's not either or. Jesus is challenging us, saying, how do you see? What do you see? With what eyes are you seeing the world, your neighbor, and yourself? Now that is a remarkable message for any day, but in our world in particular, where we are threatened with fake news and unsureness of what is true and what isn't, of who is authentic and who isn't, of who is Christian and truly Christian and who is a fake Christian, and all the things that people say. What is it that we truly see? What is it that people see in us? How are we being people of sight? You know, I find that even more poignant because in our own community, we have Mike and Lori, who are fabulous people whose eyes work differently than ours. And they are some of the people, in my opinion, who have the most sight. And yet it's different than my sight. It's a reminder. What you see is not what you get. Seeing is not believing. It's more than that. It's what God is doing to us. It's that thing, I think, that Rosa Parks had, where she said, I will do it. I will sit down. I will give up my life. I will lose my job. I will have to move to the north. I will leave everything behind because I see, as her pastor would say, I see that promised land. And I might not get there, but I know that God is going to get us all there eventually. We are called to live, to see, to be people with different sight. Not just seeing, but also acting upon that sight. So this morning, as we continue in our worship, we're going to be singing a great old faithful hymn called Be Thou My Vision. Which is really all about this. So I want to invite you to be singing this him as your prayer, maybe. Where do you need new vision? Where do you need to see a new, whether it's about yourself or about other people or about what's going on or about how God is in the world? Because Jesus is making all things new. Healing us, restoring us, recreating us, just like he did with that mud on the blind man's eyes. So let's pray as we sing together, "Be Thou My Vision." It's number 339 in the blue hymnal, if you want to follow along that way. Let's stand as we are able.